All right, Ephesians, fellas, chapter 1 there. Pick up where we left off on this subject of power for living. Power for living. I'm not going to go back and reintroduce everything that we already got into 2 weeks ago. I did call this first lesson after we gave the little introductory part of the lesson there. That was when Frank was here. Remember Frank? I think he wanted to teach as much as I wanted to teach that morning. Amen. For moments. I just about decided I had enough, though. If he spoke out one more time, I was going to have to get with him. You notice downstairs in the service that I put a few comments there in the message that kind of gave a subtle hint that, you know, we don't speak out in church. So, but anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We talked about God's love. This is the thing I wanted to start with this morning in this series of Power for Living, facing the challenges that every man faces in the world today, facing the challenge of being the husband you ought to be, the dad you ought to be, the employer or employee. You know, we talked about the fact that big muscles do not create strong men. Corporate titles do not create strong men. What creates a strong man is God's power. God's power makes men strong. And that's the great need in this day and age. Strong men. Strong men in our homes. I don't mean abusive men. I don't mean violent men. I mean strong men. A strong man knows how to control his temper. A strong man knows how to control his emotions. That's the kind of strong men we need. Men that know how to lead with leadership in the home, in the church, in society. Nothing is greater for a church than a group of strong Christian men. So power for living. What about it? Well, we wanted to begin with the fact that the strongest factor in our nature is love. Love is the tie that binds a husband and wife's heart together. Love is the tie that binds the parent and child's heart together. Love is the tie that binds one's friend heart to another's friend heart. And love is the strongest tie between God and us. And we take a little time to look at God's love for us. Understand it. Know it. We'll talk about that this morning. Abide in it. Live in it. Because it has influence over us. It gives us power. We said, first of all, that God's love to us flows through the channel of His Beloved, His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what verse number 6 tells us. Jesus didn't die to make God love us. Jesus died because God loved us. It was God's love that sent Jesus. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4. So Jesus didn't die for us to make God love us. That's something that's being preached right now in some Baptist churches. I don't know where they're getting that concept. I don't know where they get that from the Bible. Jesus died because God loved. Jesus, His whole, you read John chapter 17. One of His desires, the desires of His heart, was to manifest the love of God to us, to show us that God, how much God loved us, okay? So God's love flows to us through the channel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, God's love, number 2, for us is stored in the person of Christ. We got that in verse number 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And there, friend, what greater blessing could be ours than the love of God? And the love that blessing of God's love is stored in the person of Jesus Christ. We said as we learn to abide in Christ, we are immersed in the reservoir of God's love. To whatever degree my life is wrapped around Jesus Christ, to that same degree, my life is influenced by the love of God. I use the illustration, ask you men, because your wife loves you, does that influence you? And you all shook your heads, yes. Because your children love you, does that influence you? And yes, we agree, it does. It makes an impact on our life. We choose to do things or not do things because we know how much our wives love us. We choose to do things or not do things because we know how much our children love us. You know, some men, when I'm away from home, I think about that. I think, you know, man, what? You hear these wild stories. Guys get themselves into trouble when they're away from home. Get themselves into a mess. I think to myself, what would that do to my children? What would that do to my married child? You know, what would that do to Ben, who's on deputation right now, going to church after church, where in many cases they know his dad? What would that do? You know, and how much, and not just that, but that boy loves me dearly. And your kids love you dearly. you know, the little girls at your home. I'm talking about you young men especially. The little girls in your home, little boys, you're their hero. You know, you come, they come running out when daddy comes home. Some of you guys are going to experience that in the next few years. You know, they hug your little, they get on your legs, you know, and they, daddy, daddy. You know, man, tell you, they, you're their hero. Now, because you know that, that influences you. That influences things you do and things you don't do. You dwell in the knowledge of their love for you. That influences your behavior. In the same manner, in the same manner, if we can ever become convinced of how much God loves us, it will influence us. It'll alter our behavior. It'll influence us as much as our wife's love does. It'll influence us as much as our children's love does. Paul, this and Paul talked here about these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, I said this without realizing it, the love of our wives and children have influences in our lives. And by all means, the love God has for us stored in Jesus Christ is greater than the love of my wife for me, greater than the love of my children for me. The more I abide in the person of Christ, immersed in the knowledge of God's love, the more I am influenced by the love of God to be faithful to God. I'm going to tell you something, fellas. Love will cause you to be more faithful than law ever will. Love is a stronger factor. Think about it. Think about how much you love your dad and mom. And then think about getting married. And now you love your wife more than you love your dad and your mom. That love between a husband and wife is wonderfully strong. Powerfully strong. So much so now, you know, I love my mom and dad, but man, God forbid if I ever had to make a choice, I'd choose my wife in a heartbeat. It wouldn't even be a decision. I wouldn't need to pray about it 10 seconds. 2 seconds. My mind's already made up. I mean, that's done. That's how strong that love is, okay? Now, if I can get to the place where I live influenced by how strong His love is for me, if I can ever get there, it will influence me. I don't have to have a rule book then. I want to live close to Him. I want to do right. That'll be my heart's desire because I wouldn't want to break His heart. I wouldn't want to disappoint God. So that's what I'm talking about. Now, number three this morning, let me say this. I'm going to depart from the book of Ephesians to give you this lesson. Then we're going to come right back. And then we'll be done with this subject today, I think. God's love, number three, gives us power to face every challenge in life we encounter. His love gives us power to face every challenge in life we encounter. For this, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. These are some great verses. Some of the most fantastic verses in all the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. I love this passage right here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Look down at verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. There's your power for living. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul said. Persuaded. That's what I want to be. That's exactly what I want to be. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, not only does God's love influence me as far as being faithful to Him goes, His love also gives me great power to be more than a conqueror in this life. No matter what comes my way, His love gives me great power to be more than a conqueror, no matter what comes my way. Again, go back to the wife. Go back to your wife. If you got a good wife, many of you do. Most of you do. You got a good wife who adores you, loves you with all her heart. If your world crumbles around you at work, you can handle it. If you know when you get home, you got your wife's love waiting for you. You can handle it. If other things come up in life, challenges, setbacks, difficulties, and some of you have been through those, some of you are going through those right now, and you could testify this morning, if I gave you 5 minutes, you could testify how powerful the love of a supportive wife is for you. To stand by your side. Not one who approaches the precipice, you know, arm in arm and goes, oh, my goodness, I'm not going down there with you. But one who, when you approach the precipice and you know you got to walk through that valley, takes your arm and says, I'm with you all the way. What does that do for you? Man, I tell you, it gives you great power. It gives you power to overcome life's challenges, life's difficulty. Her love encourages us. Our wives' love encourages, empowers us. And this is what Paul told these Roman Christians about the love of God. There is nothing, 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 nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can affect it. This love that is channeled and stored for me in the person of Jesus Christ. Nothing can affect that. Nothing can change it. Nothing whatsoever. I teach this to the boys who in homiletics up at the ministry, in studying for the ministry. So, fellas, you may get out there someday, and the church may absolutely crumble to pieces. People may turn on you and get bitter and ugly and nasty and hate your guts. And the whole thing may fall apart. But one thing is for certain. You know what? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing changes that. Nothing affects that. And when we know that, when we're convinced of it, when we are persuaded of it, like Paul was, that gives you great power. Gives you great power to go through the difficulties of life. Paul said he was persuaded of this truth. In other words, he was confident. He was convinced. He could not be moved from this belief. It was settled in his heart. Now, let me ask you a question. How did Paul come to that place of confidence? How did he come to that place of persuasion? Well, I think he gave us a little key in Philippians 1:21 when he said this, for me to live is Christ. You see, fellas, Paul's life was absorbed in the person of Jesus Christ. And when you abide in Christ, when Jesus is not just someone that you talk to on Sunday when the pastor prays or somebody that you talk to when you pray for a meal, when Jesus is our life, when he is on our mind throughout the day, you got to give your mind to your work. You got to give your mind to your responsibilities. But as a man of God, a child of God, there ought to be times during the day when thoughts about Jesus come to our mind. We're abiding in him. We breathe a little prayer to him, if it's two or three sentences. Now, to abide in Christ, Paul's life, he said, for me to live is Christ. And to know Christ is to know not only his love, but to know God's love. Because that's where God's love is stored. That's where God's love is channeled, through the person of Jesus Christ. The key is to make Jesus preeminent in my life. The more my mind is on Christ, the more I'll be convinced of God's love. That's the way it works. And that's why Paul could say, I'm persuaded, I'm convinced. By the way, Paul had a lot of setbacks. Paul had trouble physically. I mean, his physical health. Paul had trouble in the ministry. Everywhere he went, it was either riot or revival. And more riot sometimes than revival. But man, what kept Paul challenged and empowered to face the challenges was knowing, convinced, persuaded, no matter what happens, nothing can affect God's love for me. Nothing changes that. Man, thank God for that. Amen. That just gives you great confidence. I just had to go over there because I know that's not in the book of Ephesians. I can't get by God's love without talking about that. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 2. And let me talk to you about point number 4 this morning. Chapter 2 here. This is all the subject of God's love. This is the starting point in this thing of power for living. I must be persuaded. I need to be right where Paul was. Persuaded, convinced of the love of God for me. Sometimes you don't hear enough about this, okay? But it is a motivating factor. Let me say this. God's love was not discouraged by our sin. God's love was not discouraged by our sin. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 2, and look at verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now, do you see that? When did that love, when was that love evident? When we were dead, lost, unsaved. Unseemly, uncomely. That's when God loved us. You see, God loved us, gentlemen, when there was absolutely nothing lovable about us. There was nothing in us that merited God's love. Sometimes when you get a chance, get over to Ezekiel chapter 16. In Ezekiel chapter 16, Ezekiel talks about the nation of Israel's birth. And he talks about it in terms of the birth of a child. And, you know, those of you that have been in the delivery room, when that child is first birthed, oh, brother, there's nothing lovely physically about that child. I mean, the blood and the current, I mean, just it's a mess. Huh? And Ezekiel 16 talks about that. It said, when you were birthed as a nation, there was absolutely nothing lovable about you. When God passed by, there was nothing in you that made him love you. Why did he love Israel? Because God chose to love Israel. He said, it's the time of love, and I will love you when there's nothing lovable about you. And in that same manner, in this New Testament day and age, God loved us when there was absolutely nothing lovable about us. Think about it, fellas. There's not much lovable about us now. But the grace of God has changed us a little bit. There are some things quite different in our lives than they used to be. You know, and I'm sure God is pleased with that. But when there was nothing lovable about us, he loved us. Romans 5:8, a verse that you use in your soul winning efforts. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, think about a baby being born. A baby is loved unconditionally by its parents, right? Unconditionally. The child has done nothing to merit or attract your love. The child hasn't tossed a ball to you. The child hasn't given you a kiss on the cheek. You know, the child hasn't done what Cherith did this morning. I had my suit on, ready to leave, and I come down through the kitchen, and she's been putting butter on a muffin. I bend down to give her a kiss, and she gives me a great big old hug. Puts her fingers on the back of my suit jacket, you know, with butter on there. You know, amen, just what you need. And buttering me up, that's right. You knew that would come. But I missed it, yes, sir, for a couple of weeks. Yes, sir, amen. Well, you know, a little baby there on the table in the delivery room has done nothing to attract or merit your love. But there is one small technicality. The child belongs to you. Huh? You know, I got to be with McKenna and Max this last week. Man, that's a blessing. I love your babies. I love your grandbabies. I love to look at them and see them and hold them. But I must confess, there's something different about those two. You know, they're mine. You know, they're mine when I want them to be mine. They're theirs when it's time to be theirs. Amen. This grandparent thing's all right. Amen. Yes, sir. So, you think about it, friend. Listen to me. You know, that baby is your child. Now, when God chose to love us, we were not his children. That's what verse number 3 says. Look at it. Look at the very last phrase. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what you and I were. We were not his child. It's one thing to love your child. It's something altogether different to love someone else's child, especially if they're horribly wicked. And God loved us even when we were not his own, when we were horribly wicked. God loved us in spite of what he knew about us. He knew that even after we would become his children, we would break his heart. What man here, after salvation, has not broken God's heart sometime? God knew that we would wander from him. God knew that we would backslide. God knew that we would disappoint him. Still, he loved us. And there's something very comforting to understand. There was nothing about us to attract his love. And the truth of the matter is, there doesn't have to be anything attractive about me to keep his love. That's the truth. Because his love is not going to change. Now, does that give me a desire to go out, oh boy, and do what I want? No. When I understand this, it has the opposite effect on me. You mean I can't do anything? Even when I break your heart, when I disappoint you, when I wander, when I backslide, it doesn't change your love for me? God says, not one bit. There's nothing I could possibly do that would cause God to say, I can't believe that. I'm tired of him. There's nothing I could do. That's incredible to me. He knew the worst from the first. You know what we know when we get married? We know the best from the beginning. Then you got to learn to adjust, accept your wife for what she is and who she is, and she has to do the same with us. God knows the worst from the first and still chooses to love us. Still chose to love us when we were not His own. And even knowing that we would break His heart, I'm going to love you and I'm not going to change. It's not going to decrease, diminish by one bit. I'm going to love you like I've always loved you. He did not love us because we were good. He loves us to make us good. That's what God's love ought to do. His love, this is where you and I must be good stewards of His love. For Him to love us like that, I need to be a good steward of that love. A good steward of that love doesn't say, you mean I can't do anything to change God's love? Oh boy. That I'm going to live like I want to, forget church, and forget right, and forget everything else, and just die and go to heaven because God loves me. That's being a poor steward of God's love. A good steward of God's love realizes, my goodness, this is incredible. This is the most powerful thing in the world. That He loves me that much, and nothing I can do will diminish that love. Well, certainly, I don't want to live far away from Him. I want to live as close to Him as I possibly can. Live. That's the motivation, fellas. If we ever get under the influence of His love, that's what will happen to us. If we ever get caught under the power of it, it will not grant us liberty to just be loose and licentious and free. It'll draw us tight. It'll draw us real tight. That's what God's love does. God's love was not discouraged by our sin. And God's love, now, God does not condone our sin, and it does break His heart. But His love is still not discouraged by our sin. It doesn't change. His love is not diminished, not discouraged by our sin. He may not love what we do, but He loves us. Well, I want to love Him. I want to be what He wants. Let me say number five this morning. God's love in Christ passes normal comprehension. I want you to look at chapter 3, verse number 19. We'll be done with this first part of the lesson here. God's love in Christ passes normal comprehension. Paul said this in verse number 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Isn't that kind of a contradiction, sounds like? Paul said, I want you to know it, but it passes knowledge. His love passes normal comprehension. If you go back to verse 14, Paul said that he bowed his knees to God in prayer concerning several things for these people in Ephesus. One of his requests was that they might be able to comprehend the love of God that is in Christ for them. I want you folks to understand it. It's going to take more than just normal comprehension because it passes knowledge. The Holy Spirit of God is going to have to open your understanding. The Holy Spirit of God is going to have to open your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is going to have to do the work in your heart to cause you, and cause me, to fully grasp how big this is. It's huge. Paul said he had to make it a matter of prayer. And I wonder sometimes, you know, if we haven't taken the wrong approach. Dear God, help our kids to live by the rules, and help our kids to live by the standards, and help our kids to live by what's right. You know what may be the greater prayer for them? Open their understanding to how much you love them. Open that understanding. Open that comprehension. The love of Christ is beyond normal comprehension. It's above normal. So the Holy Spirit of God is going to have to do something in my heart, in my mind, to cause me to comprehend this, to cause this love to affect me and influence me in such a way that I'll be faithful. I'll face challenges. I'll face difficulties without fear, with great power, because I'm able to grab a little bit of this that's ungrabbable. To the normal human, because of the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life through prayer, the Holy Spirit has opened my mind, my comprehension to how big this love is. You think about it. I mean, there are times you get angry with your kids. I've had men say to me in the office, I've had men say to me here and in Iowa, boy, you know, it's just sometimes it's tough to love a wife that's unlovable. God's love. Never tough. Never hard. He loves. And he loves, 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 and he loves. And when you get knocked down, get back on your feet because God loves you. When you go backwards a few steps, get back up to where you were because God loves you. And then not a thing you can do will change it. And ask God to give you, in some special way, a little bit of ability to comprehend how big this is, how powerful this is. This is incredibly strong, motivating factor to be faithful and live honestly to God. Honestly, be faithful and live faithfully to God as a result of His love for us. Let me give you a couple of benefits of comprehending the love of God, what it provides. Look at what He said in verse number, forgot to write the verse down. Where's rooted and grounded? There it is, verse number 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The mighty oak or hickory is an impressive tree to our eye. But I mean, what makes that tree strong is not just what you see. It's what you don't see. The root system is huge. The root system is strong. Did you see during the flood, one of the things that came out of the flood here, we're standing out here on the east doors watching the wind and the rain the night of the flood here, and that tree out here just went plop, just fell right over. And there it was. But the wind and the storm did not cause that tree to fall over. The root system was dead. And the wind just blew it over to reveal that the root system was dead. It was dead already. Now, the root system goes deep in search of moisture and nutrition in the soil. And Paul prayed that these people would be strengthened and stabilized by the nourishment that is found in the love of God. I wonder sometimes if we haven't emphasized it enough. There is something nourishing, stabilizing, strengthening about the love of God, being rooted in it, grounded in it. That's what Paul prayed for these people, and that's what I pray for myself and for you. If we could just have a little bit of glimpse of how powerful this love is. May God forbid that it would cause us to live further from Him. May God cause it to help us to draw closer to Him. We comprehend that. Okay, thank you, fellas. See you downstairs.